Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're pleased to welcome Trevor Lane from LA Now. He is a senior writer for LakersNation.com and also the host of the popular podcast Lakers Nation. And Trevor, why don't we start with the buzz? And it's not even the draft. What is the buzz around LA now that the idea of Kawhi Leonard joining the Lakers is a distinct possibility?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are really excited about Kawhi Leonard possibly coming to the Lakers. Of course, nothing is done yet at this point. We don't even know if there's really major trade discussions going on between the two teams. At this point, we just know that the San Antonio Spurs are at least listening to offers, but we're not sure whether or not the Lakers are one of those teams. We would imagine they probably will be. But there is also a little bit of trepidation because there's a lot of Lakers fans that don't want to see the young core traded away. Guys like Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball, of course, Julius Randle's a restricted free agent, Brandon Ingram. There are a lot of fans that have grown attached to those players. So even if they do land Kawhi, I think in Los Angeles there's going to be excitement, certainly, but it'll be a little bit bittersweet because at least some of those pieces will be gone.
Does the timing matter? Because he does still have a year left on his deal before he can opt out of the one he's got with San Antonio. Whether it would be a trade in the offseason, a trade before the deadline, maybe it doesn't happen until the end of next year. Does that matter when it comes to the salary cap and what the Lakers can do?
Well, yeah, it definitely matters. I mean, for the Lakers, they have, in theory, for next year, right now, they have plenty of cap room. They could trade a second-round pick, and that's it for Kawhi Leonard, and absorb his entire salary. But once they go out and they start signing free agents and they start adding dollars on top of that, then they're going to have to send out more money in order to match what they'd be bringing in with Kawhi.
Sure.
So that could be a little bit of a factor. But really, for the Lakers, the big thing is they want to be able to add not just Kawhi, but Kawhi and another piece and maybe a LeBron James or a Paul George, or, you know, in extreme, they could maybe get all three of them. So they're probably going to look to try to send out a salary like Lou Alden in order to keep the dollars even so they can free up as much cap room for this summer to still go after James and George, even if they do trade for Kawhi.
You said in the extreme. How extreme are we talking? How possible would that be to add a trio of three stars that all presumably would command max deals?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be easy to do, that's for sure. You'd be looking at moving multiple pieces. Lou Alden would be a must. Julius Randle would almost certainly be gone. His $12.5 million or $12.4 million cap hold would be out. You'd also be talking about probably surrendering one of Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, in addition to Kuzma, future picks, all of that just in order to get the salaries to where they need to be. But it's not completely outside the realm of possibility, and that's one of the reasons why some people think that the Spurs maybe won't send Kawhi to the Lakers, that maybe they'll give him to the Clippers instead so that the Lakers don't have an opportunity to form another super team.
Trevor Lane is a senior writer for Lakers Nation and the host of a popular Lakers Nation podcast with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So if you're looking at those three big names, Kawhi, Paul George, LeBron James, in your opinion, Trevor, rank those in terms of most likely to end up in L.A.
Oh, man. You know what? If you'd asked me a month ago, I would have put Paul George at the top. But now I'm starting to hear more and more that that's looking a little bit sketchy on whether or not he'll actually become a Laker. So it's hard to rank them. But right now, I think I'm going to put LeBron at the top spot. And that's certainly not what I would have said a month ago. But it seems like that's the way things are pointing right now. We've heard the stuff about his son maybe playing basketball in Los Angeles, joining a school here. And it just feels like that's the way the wind is blowing right now. So I would go LeBron, then Kawhi, then Paul George at the third spot.
We know certainly what the city of Los Angeles has to offer. A lot of people love Southern California. But if you're Magic Johnson or Jeannie Buss, Trevor, and you're making that pitch for basketball reasons, how do you convince these guys to come to the Lakers?
Well, see, I think that this is part of a big part of the reason why bringing in Magic Johnson almost a year and a half ago was so crucial, because once he gets in that room with free agents, there's nobody that can sell Lakers basketball better than Magic Johnson. There's nobody who knows what it's like to be a winning basketball team in Los Angeles better than Magic does. So he's going to be able to explain to a free agent not just everything else that LA has to offer, but he can explain what it means to the city when the Lakers are good, what kind of support you have behind you there in Los Angeles. I mean, being able to pretty much run the city is what happens when you have a winning basketball team in LA like the Lakers. So that's what he's going to sell. As far as the X's and O's sort of thing, the Lakers really forged an identity this last season. We saw them pick up the pace. They finished, I believe, third in the league in pace, and they established themselves as a defensive force, took major strides in that area. So they now are set up to be a running team mm-hmm. that can also play defense. So they've got an identity, and they also have that Lakers history to sell as well. So with those two things, that's what I would imagine Magic is going to be focusing on.
Okay, except that the roster could be really fluid. So if they're committed to those two things, is there anyone on the roster right now that's untouchable, do you think?
No, and you know what? The Lakers actually said that. You know, last summer, they were talking about Brandon Ingram being the untouchable guy. A very different tune this summer. They've admitted that there's no one who's really untouchable, which is the correct stance. I mean, they don't have anybody on the roster right now that's a surefire superstar or anything. So they have to explore all options. So, no, I wouldn't say anybody's untouchable. There'd certainly be hesitation to move a guy like Ingram. I've been hearing amazing things about Kyle Kuzma's workouts this summer and the improvements that he's made already. So those guys are certainly ones that they would not be super excited to move, but if the right offer came along, then I'm sure they'd do it.
Trevor Lane covers the Lakers for Lakers Nation and their podcast that goes along with it, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, here on CBS Sports Radio. So I keep hearing these rumblings, reports that there has been a meeting of some sort with the Lakers front office and everybody who might possibly be caught in a tampering web. How wary are they of getting punished again?
Well, I mean, they've gotten their wrist slapped twice now, so it does seem like they are pretty wary. And I think, you know what, after being fined twice, I think the concern now would be them signing someone and then having that signing reversed or invalidated, where they were no longer allowed to sign that player, which wouldn't be completely unprecedented. So, and I know that was an issue that came up when they got slapped with the huge tampering fine for the Paul George thing last year. So I'm sure that's what the Lakers are worried about. Hey, if something pops up again and we land one of these guys and then the league finds out there's tampering involved, they could invalidate that signing. We could lose that player. So I think that's the concern right now, and that's why they're trying to make sure that they have all their ducks in a row as far as that goes, because they know the league is going to keep a really close eye on them and Magic Johnson making sure that he's not, you know, winking at anybody on Jimmy Kimmel or anything like that.
Looking ahead now to the draft, we know the Lakers have pick number 25 from Cleveland, and I started to think about it. Is there any part of that deal that was done at the trade deadline that you think the Lakers regret?
The deal with Nance and Clarkson for 25. You know what? I don't. And that's not to say that Nance and Clarkson aren't good players. The Lakers really enjoyed them. Larry Nance Jr. is a wonderful player and an even better person. But, you know, you look at what the Lakers were able to do, clearing Jordan Clarkson's salary off the books, plus landing this draft pick. I mean, it was a home run move for the Lakers. They've set themselves up to be a destination this summer because of partially that move. So, yeah, I doubt they have any regrets over that trade, even though it does sting a little bit to part with young players like that. I think that they would make that move 10 times out of 10.
What are they looking at in the draft? What do they need?
Well, you know, we know they need shooters. We know they took a lot of threes, but they didn't make very many of them last season. So that's an issue. They were, I believe, they finished either dead last or awful close to it in free throw shooting. So shooting is going to be a big priority for them. At 25, guys like Kevin Huerter, if he ends up dropping to 25, would be a really nice pick there for them. But they're going to look for guys who can shoot the ball from outside, who can convert from the free throw line. That's what they're going to be looking to pick up the most. If they wind up hanging on to these picks, we know they just completed a trade with the Philadelphia 76ers in order to get the 39th pick as well. Mm-hmm. So now they have three picks in this draft. And, yeah, I'm wondering if that's if they're stockpiling these assets to maybe throw them into a trade, or it could be that just because this is a deep draft, they're going to look to add three young players this year.
What are the chances that Isaiah Thomas plays in Los Angeles again next year?
You know what? I don't think they're as bad as they would seem on the surface. IT has been saying that he's finally getting back to being healthy, that he was never 100% last year, and then he's finally feeling like himself again. But you know what? This is a guy who everybody thought was going to command a max contract, and then he's had these hip issues. So I could very easily see him coming back on a one-year deal because there's not a lot of cap space out there in the league. There's not a lot of teams that really need a starting point guard like IT. He'd certainly want a starting role. So a one-year prove-it kind of a deal would make a heck of a lot of sense for Isaiah Thomas. And we know Luke Walton has spoken very highly of IT's impact in the locker room, and a lot of the players have said the same thing. So he was very welcome with the Lakers. And if he doesn't find a multi-year offer elsewhere, I could definitely see him coming back on a one-year deal.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Luke Walton, because that was kind of where I was going at the end. We talk about personnel, and with a younger team, a Luke Walton as a head coach makes a lot of sense. But how would it work, in your opinion, Trevor, with a team that featured a LeBron James or a Paul George or a Kawhi Leonard, who are essentially contemporaries of Walton?
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, Luke Walton is a very young coach. And that's a complete 180 for his job. I mean, what he's supposed to do these last two seasons, it's been all about, you know, developing the young talent and building a relationship with these players and trying to turn them into the players that they're going to become. But you suddenly throw in LeBron James and Paul George and maybe Kawhi Leonard, guys like that, guys that want to win right now. And his job changes quite a bit. And we've seen Luke make mistakes. We've seen him make mistakes, certainly as a rookie coach. He made even less mistakes last year, but still there were mistakes made. I mean, errors that he made in terms of play calling and substitutions and things like that. He's kind of learning as he goes as well. And so you have to wonder, will those mistakes be magnified if he's got a team that's ready to win right now? Or will it be a situation where guys like LeBron and Kawhi and all that are so smart as far as their basketball sense goes anyway, that they'll gloss over any issues that Luke could have? It could go either way. What we do know is that Luke's a great communicator, that all the players we've talked to have said they love him, they love having him as a coach, and that he does a really nice job connecting with them. So, you know what, I would say things still look up for Luke Walton, but he would have to make sure he really gets those stars to buy into what he's selling.
Mm. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz, especially after their rebound year last year where they were back up to 35 wins. So you want to follow Trevor on Twitter, @Trevor_Lane, a senior writer for Lakers Nation, hosts the Lakers Nation podcast. And I guess we're going to have to keep you on speed dial considering all the things that could be happening with the Lakers soon. Trevor, thank you.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. Thanks for having me on, Amy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.